There's a guy about Dublin. He's the man behind so many of the city's iconic fast casuals. He's one of the city's hospitality scene's most notable and iconic faces. He really is a one-name diva. Joe.
So much so that his name is the moniker for his first restaurant, Joe Burger. Then we all later got to meet some of his next incarnations, Crackbird, that iconic fried chicken joint, Skinflint, the amazingly topped pizzas before specialty pizza exploded across the city, Bear, incredible value steak cuts and strong cocktails, and now his recent additions to the city's dining and drinking scene, Hey Donna and Bar Giuseppe.
This week, we chew the fat with Joe Macken, an enfant terrible of the Dublin food scene, some might say. The man who created a beautiful monster of a restaurant group that has changed, transformed, and shaken up Dublin dining. The man who created several success stories within the ashes of the recession. You know his restaurants and bars, though you may not know him personally just yet. I'm Russell.
I'm Patrick, and this is Chew the Fat.
My name is Joe Macken, and I run a group of restaurants all called Joe Burger, but we have quite a varied range across Dublin. So we have Hey Donna in Rat Mines, which is our original restaurant, which started 12 years ago. Crackbird on South William Street. Joe Burger Town, in which the one we're sitting in, with our big sunny terrace. Not today, it's raining. And above that, we've got Bar Giuseppe, our hidden little bar, sort of like a little natch wine bar. And then down on Dame Street, I've got a brand new Hey Donna that only opened this week. I have a little unit down that I've yet I'm going to reopen. I'm working on what I'm going to actually do with it. And then in Smithfield, we have another Joe Burger, but it's going to be relaunched soon as something completely new and different.
Any hints?
Yeah, of course. I know I'm really open about it. It's going to be, imagine if the Winding Stair had an illegitimate child with Joe Burger crossed with Hey Donna, all merged. No, illegitimate child is the wrong word. That's terrible. It's sort of like a merge. An unwanted, like unruly redheaded child. So it's going to be like Irish fast casual. It's so, but in the Hey Donna sort of style, that very vegetable forward. Like, so it's snacks, vegetables, and then definitely a reference to really good quality Irish meat and fish. But they have to take second place. We want to have Irish produce at the forefront. And just making it more casual and fun. Like, you go to Lisbon, you know there's pork chop sandwiches that they do everywhere. But like that, but done in Irish, and recreating that, and taking to finding new Irish things for ourselves. Like, the bacon sandwich, nobody's really rocking out a bacon sandwich. Like, Fergus Henderson style.
And everyone
like,
is in London. Yeah, it's like
it's
a
true.
Staple over there of like twists on it and like proper smoky bacon, proper bread, you know, cream cheese, chili jam, all of the kind of twists on it. And there's no one here.
We're putting on bacon jam toasties here.
Oh.
In Bar Giuseppe.
Oh,
so
God.
Bar Giuseppe similarly it's like a pet project in sort of a way in that there's not a kitchen, we just have a little counter. And we just put in things. It actually is completely driven about there was nowhere to go and drink wine and sit and hang out. That was more lo-fi. It wasn't full of kids taking yokes and crap like that, or just people trying to sell Heineken. You know, I was just like, I couldn't drink another crap glass of wine.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a thing, we've got so many wine merchants in Ireland, but because Ireland's so price driven and we're so brand driven, it's like, well, I only drink Pinot Grigio, or I only drink an Argentinian Malbec, and that's all that's on the wine list. And I was like, I just can't drink another fucking glass of that shit. So we opened our own wine bar, and that's the whole point. And there's only food here that myself and the staff want to eat. So it's like rare smoked beef, you know, they're making pumpkin muffuletta downstairs. There's a ham boiling for tomorrow. You know, we're just cheeses that we just want to eat, like, you know, having a lovely young buck. And Silk is dropping in some stuff tomorrow from Carleggy, and we have some stuff from Coulee, and there's Mossfield Organic. And Mossfield is here during the week because I love that Mossfield cumin stuff. I just love it, especially fried. Yeah, so this is sort of a project for that.
Is that how all your projects begin? You just crave something and you go make it happen?
No, we're sort of a bit of like the room of requirement in Harry Potter, in that we have a building and therefore have to use it.
Yes.
And also, or if something's not working and therefore I'm like, oh, I have to have faith in it. And so that's how things change. Like, so Hey Donna came out of, we had Joe Burger at Mines. It was there 12 years, and it just needed to change. You know, it had run its course. Our customers they'd grown up. I'd grown up. You know, I opened the restaurant when I was in my early 30s. I wasn't even 30. And I was like, do you know what? it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't fit in my in right minds. Mm-hmm. So that's where Hey Donna came out of it. And Hey Donna, it to me, it's just Joe Burger reimagined. You know, because it still has the same aesthetic issue things, but that it has to be fast casual, it has to be accessible, it's relatively inexpensive, we have to make everything in-house, it has to be like the best quality we can make it, and that's the, like that's across the board in all our restaurants. Like I can't deal with like Palace and all those food service places or all the Northern Irish ones coming into this country. I just don't get it. Like, why buy in stuff? I was with someone the other day and they're like, oh my God, you have to try this pasta. It comes in frozen, pre-cooked from Switzerland. And they're like, it's perfect though. And I'm like, fucking
I'm already turned off.
I'm already freaking out. Yeah. You know, or pre-cooked bacon. And just like, I just don't get it. I'm really just, you know, I love having our butcher. I love having Rossico, my baker, who hand rolls everything for us or makes all our sourdough, things like that. I love having smaller people. I'd love to think that we could buy like straight from the field with vegetables and stuff like that, but at the amount of stuff food that we're serving, it doesn't always work for us. So we do actually have to go to market. But we use Caterway, which are a small family business. I love them there. But yeah, I just think we just need to be, you know, go back to the butcher, the candlestick maker. I've forgotten that phrase now that I meant to be using. I can't think of it. But yeah, and even the same with wine suppliers. You know, now going to smaller people that are coming with different ways of buying stuff and in smaller volumes. I love things now that you can only get because you're only getting six bottles of that Joe, because someone else has to get a couple of bottles and someone else has to get a couple of bottles, and then, you know, I'm not going to sell it to anyone. Yeah. You know, so I don't want to make sure that you're not just going to guzzle it.
And you're giving everyone something so different compared to everything else.
Exactly. That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
And I think everyone's tastes have changed, especially over the past few years, that they aren't as plain in terms of their choices, if there's choices out there.
I am literally waiting to hear, you know, someone in a flat scream down like, Jamula, get in for your bath, because it's become so common now. Do you know, it is there. Harissa, your dad's here, he wants his dinner. You know? So, I don't know.
Had a child, you know, what would you name it?
Baby Zug. A little spicy.
Such a common name.
Where did you think of it? We actually have a Joe Burger baby. So two people that work for us had a baby together. And for months, we were like, well, if it's a girl, it's going to be Chermoula. And if it's a boy, it's going to be Zug. His name is Kit, though. He's gorgeous. He's the most beautiful little child. But I think people have, I think a lot of people have broadened their horizons. But the people that are buying sourdough bread, though. Mm-hmm. There is a huge cohort of the other people that have not. And it's actually a regressive step people are taking, because our supermarkets are providing so much pre-cooked, pre-wrapped, packaged food. The people are a huge portion, actually the majority of people, still go to the supermarket and buy pre-packaged food and are completely led by what they see on TV and what the supermarket provides to them. But in certain ways, then they are like broadening their horizons in that they've got different flavors. Like you go to Aldi and, you know, it's Moroccan week, and they're seeing things that are different. But it'd be great to think people actually made it themselves up.
Do you cook much yourself?
I do a good bit. I do all the cooking in our house.
Are you ever in your house? Because we always see you here, or we see you on William Street.
Well, no, it's only when we're doing things. So at the moment, we're really busy because we're not. So we've opened Bar Giuseppe, we've just opened Hey Donna, we've got the Emerald Dairy about to open. But that's, again, it's a requirement to have to change. You know, Dublin has changed, we're out of the recession. And it's really clear, people are like, well, I'm not fucking sharing a bench. Do you know what I mean? Or I'm not doing that. Or, jeez, I did that when I was broke, I'm not having it now. Where's my Prosecco? You know?
The neck!
You think I'm going to the toilet and it's not marble? Get grip. The Paddy McKillen effect, you know? And, so, what were we talking about?
You cooking at home and how busy you are.
I do cook at home. I love cooking at home. I try to get, I love leftovers. Leftovers are my go-to thing. So it's like, cook once, eat many. Is my sort of go-to way of doing. But yeah, no, but I cook in the restaurants, or I'm always fiddling around, because all the menus, it's a gulag here, you know, I am a dictator. It is my own fiefdom. So everything is done in the way that we want to do it. So we're all constantly changing menus and everything.
12 years, is that right?
It's 12 years of Joe Burger, yeah.
Wow, and recession. You've gone through all that.
Oh yeah, I've lost millions.
but worth it.
Ooh, I don't know, sometimes my bank manager and accountant would say no.
But you're one of the few people in Dublin City who have as many properties as you do, which is something to be, you know, absolutely praised, and for weathering that storm when some people can't keep, you know, a simple shop open. And, you know, this is the food industry, and the food industry is something that suffers a lot during the recession too.
Well, we grew in the recession, but I think this is just because the products that we had and we were the ability to. But now we've got harder pressures because I find it's as if the people that brought us to the boom are now back in the market. And, you know, and they don't want people that, you know, we survived through the recession, but they don't want us here now. They want, you know, they want to see big English multiples coming into their units because they're like, well, they're going to rent the property forever. They're in their fucking hours. Once there's a downturn again, they'll be fucking gone back to London. You know, fast as they can count them. You know, it's great. Like, I know you were in Hawksmoor during the week. I met with the guys here and they're like, we're going to open in Dublin. It's like, there's not enough people. You're not doing a 100 grand restaurant here. It's just not going to work because there's not that many restaurants. Well, maybe the Ivy's doing it, but, you know.
Yeah. I love this game.
Everything you can't hear is being said.
Insert opinion here.
So drop bag and water now.
So if we rewind even before that, how did you start in the industry?
Oh, well, before that, I had a sandwich bar called Orange Square on Baggot Street. Literally a legend in its own lunchtime. I started to actually make home meal replacements, but then ended up selling sandwiches and salad bars. And it flew, but me being me, the margins were totally fucked and it didn't work. And then I was trying to expand, as I do, and I managed to sign two properties within 1 week. But it was through complete fuckology in that it was just, I thought one was gone, but I'd actually signed a pre-commitment and then it just came live and I was stuck with two properties. I was like, grand, I'll just do something. So I turned one of them into another Orange Square, which failed disastrously. Paulie's Pizza's in it now. Oh. I think we were just too early for the area. And then the other one in Ratmines, I turned into Joe Burger. And Joe Burger was more out of, I was like, well, what do people want to eat? Or what do I want to eat? And I was like, at the time I was living with my folks, and I was like, go eat burgers three times a week. Because we just love them. Like, they're so simple. Mm. And I like them with all the extra bits. And I know loads of people are like, they just want the purest idea of, you know, pickled tomato mustard. But I'm like, no, I want fuck loads of shit on it. Mm. I want Thai green curry. I want all of it. I want pineapples. I want
harissa aioli.
I want harissa aioli. Yeah. I want all of it on top of it. Yeah, I want Rayu. And that's where it sort of came out of. And that's, and also the whole idea of Joburg was, it was like, using sweet and savoury South African things. We had a different name for it. It wasn't going to be called Joburg. But someone came up with the name and we just changed it. I can't even remember what the old name was. But it was a South African theme and the idea that... And I sort of have the feeling at the moment it's the same. People are going mad around us. Like, Irish people, like, we're shocking ugly people with money. It just doesn't suit us. What? Yeah, the neck! You know, like, and just the people, that's the people with money. It's just terrible. And Dublin was going running wild. Like, it was just like this horrendous place, you know, everyone's talking about buying their second house. And Joburg was meant to be the antithesis to that. It was that we reused things that we had. The plates at the time all came out. I grew up in a hotel, there were leftovers from that. Mm-hmm. Same with the cutlery, it was only using what I had. And the idea was bringing something quite simple and all homemade to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. That was the whole concept. And it's mad. Dublin's beginning to feel like that again now. There is that feel of like people are going running away with themselves. Some people are. There's some people who are still suffering from the downturn. It's clearly obvious. You know, you obviously look in any darkened corner, there's someone sleeping in it. But there is a feeling that we're running away with ourselves again at the moment. And you see that in restaurants.
Yes.
You really see it in the restaurant market. Like, how many 100-seater brass marble restaurants do we need in Dublin?
Far too many restaurants then at this point. Even, I know you've just reopened your own one. Well, let's ignore that.
But, well...
I'm not
a financial institution. Yeah. I'm not making millions here. Yeah. I've a support network of... I've about 100 staff. And I myself, I'm not living in a fucking mansion. And I put all my money back into the restaurants and to grow them. And also, I don't charge people a fortune. And we offer value for money. And I think that's really important in life.
Because, like, we have been in London for, 4 years time, and the scene over there, and it's the relentless new opening this week, that week, and then the cries of, oh, what a shame it closed down. When was the last time you were there? You know that kind of feeling. Is Dublin slowly getting a bit too ahead of itself like that, and we're not appreciating the places that we should love in the meantime.
There definitely is that. Like, there is... Like, I think... I'd love if we had, like, an Irish logo for... do you know, like, the Buy Irish?
Mm.
But what does actually Buy Irish mean? Like, isn't it... It's not, you know, run by a foreign bank or something like that. They're small independent businesses. I'd love to see that we had some sort of way of identifying what is small independent business and the way, how is it funded and stuff like that. But we definitely have two... We have a lot of places at the moment. I don't know whether it's actually sustainable because there's not enough people. There just physically isn't enough people here. You know, and it's great. There's loads of people, you know, opening up these huge, big venues that are full on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, but then are completely empty. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like you can kick ball in them. But they're driven to be like that, that they can turn so much money at the weekend. And they're designed. I don't know why they just don't close on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday instead of having them open at the staff cost of it. But I don't know. There seems to be a lot.
That's the financial advice part of your of the podcast.
Can I just say, do not take financial advice from Joe Mackin. My boyfriend will tell you that as well. Anthony used to manage all our personal finances. I am so bad with money. I am a disgrace. An absolute disgrace.
So do open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Is that no?
Well, I don't know. I think like we're just. We're just going to meet some of our managers, but we'll probably look closing for a week in January this year. Because like January last year was fucking tough.
Yeah.
And I think January this year is going to be really, really tough. And it's just, you can't be open if people aren't going to go out.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to support your local restaurants.
Though, you have Veg-centric for January too.
Well, we have, you know? Veg-centric. Yeah. And we're also good value.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no, we are definitely Veg-centric for January. Hey Donna is... Oh, actually, all our restaurants. So that was always a shtick, even from Joe Burger at the get-go.
Yeah.
We always have vegan and vegetarian.
Yeah.
And we always have nut-free, you know, dairy-free.
Yeah.
We don't have gluten-free, like, fuck that.
except bear, because that was pretty meaty.
No, we do, because there is a vegan option. We don't buy gluten-free bread, because I haven't yet enjoy gluten-free bread.
So how is bear?
She's asleep.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a new venue. I thought I found one. Just didn't work out. But if I find... I'm looking for something small this time. Probably like 20, 30 seats and make it better. But it's just, I need to find something that's really, I'd love something where it's just two people. Do you know, it's just two people in the room that work there.
Yeah.
And then we could control it. And there was no menu. Like we've
dreamy.
Yeah, we've a great butcher. Like Pat and Kate in McLaughlin's are unbelievable. And I don't know, they listen to a lot of shit I come up with. And I'm like, can you cut this for me? And they're like, where the fuck are we going to find the time to do this? Or what will it ruin? Yeah. But it's not. It's to use. So we're trying to find something that I'd love to get back to into bear. I didn't really enjoy it, but it just didn't work.
Mm.
Like, the margins just didn't work. You know, we're at full employment in Dublin, practically, in terms of chefs. Mm. Asking a chef to go on a 3-hour break in the middle of the day, like at a split shift, is not fucking happening.
No.
It's just not happening. It's a point blank, man, I'm not doing that.
Mm.
You know, they'll go and work elsewhere. And so it just didn't work. The margins just, I just could not get... People, and you can't make someone eat a steak at 4:00 in the afternoon. You know, people aren't doing it.
Well, look at us. Hello, we would. Absolutely.
Know,
but you know, we're not normal.
Exactly. We're not the target market. I hear that every day when I come to us. Why can't we just have? And they're like, but Joe, you're not fucking normal. I was like, but I have normal requirements like everyone else. I need to eat.
I'm trying to... I adore pretty much every single thing that I've eaten in any of your restaurants. What have you found doesn't work, though? Because I haven't tried it yet, let's just say.
Well, we don't sell it if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Where we take
had those experiments that you've just gone, I think this is going to be great. No, doesn't work whatsoever.
Not really.
It's good to be like that.
Because it's just like, well... Because I like to do things on paper.
Yeah.
Before we even go into the kitchen.
Mm.
And like we'll write a list, and then we'll just, as you'll edit as you go through.
Mm.
And then it's like, well, actually, these, point we need to, we'll then work on the dishes to make them work.
Yeah.
That's what we actually, the way we would go at it. So, not really big into like, oh, there's been a couple of experiments now with like, you know, our $1 million fry things.
Yes.
So we were trying to do a potato tureen with it, stuffed with mackerel, but it just didn't work. And it was just really funky. I'm going to go back and try it again, though.
Yeah.
It's like a Jensen's Temptation sort of thing. I just need to go and fiddle around with it. But they were just really... maybe it's just really funky.
Well, if you need a couple of tins of ABBA Sprats, we have some at home, actually. Would you believe that we just are like, what are we doing with these?
They will get used
eventually.
Are they
tomatoes?
No, Sprats. The
The little fellas.
Yeah.
In tins.
Yeah, yeah, the Swedish ones. Swedish. Literally from Sweden.
And they're called ABBA.
Yeah.
ABBA.
ABBA. Sprats. Yeah. Wow.
Except they're called
anchovis.
Anchovis in Swedish. But that isn't anchovy. It's really, really confusing.
Oh yeah, we have. But so good, but strong.
And on its own.
Oh, the stronger the better. No.
Yeah. And we've a load of Vester button. Oh my God, we've so much in the fridge. So.
So, other than your own stable, if town was flattened in the morning, what are the places that you would miss the most? If everywhere closed, the places you would miss around?
Brendan's Cafe in Smithfield for bacon sandwiches. And Brendan, I like Brendan. I go in there. LeMay's on across the road because I love going over there. I go to the Guild. I'm such a creature of fucking habit. Oh my God. It's like, I go to about three places. Piglet. Mm. Piglet Wine Bar.
Heaven.
Yeah. Like, I just love it. Oh, and all the Chinese restaurants in Chinatown because I live on Northgate George Street. Mm. So, I find I actually don't go to many other people's restaurants. It's not... Oh, Eto. What the fuck am I talking about? Like, there's actually loads of places.
You're the only person in the world. Everyone at home is like, when is he going to say Eto?
Obviously. I'm like, I'm sweating to get out to Michael's in my marine. I have not gotten out there.
Same,
I'm sweating to get out there. Like, I love going to Niall's Wongi's places. There's loads of places. But then I love just going home. Yeah. I know that sounds terrible, but when you're working in the restaurants, and oddly enough, I give great advice to people, don't put your own fucking name above a door. Like, calling the place Joe Burger means everyone knows your name. And people just start talking to you. Hi, Joe. And you're like, I fucking don't know you. Adam. Adam. So I'm just like, yeah. So I tend to go, we go home a lot. We just go home a lot. Yeah. That's a really shit answer, but there you go. Like, it's not exactly...
I'll take it. And in terms of your own stable, have you got a favourite child of your brood?
Crane Lane, and it's still sitting there empty. I'm like, I need to get around to do something with it. And I'm like, I've just actually been too busy to do something with it, but I'm just... Now fighting with myself is, what are we going to do? Is it going to be some sort of weird German sausage bar or something?
Why not?
What do I want to do? Yes.
Well, you know, I think back to Crane Lane, and I suppose for many people who didn't know Joe Burger, it would have been Crackbird as their entry into Joe Mackinland, the new theme park that's opening in Dublin. And I think it was through Tweet Seats. Which, you know, for so many people, especially of our kind of ilk and age and all that, it really transformed the idea of dining out because it changed the interaction between social media and a restaurant.
We don't do it anymore.
No.
But we sort of stopped because, Twitter got boring and we just stopped using it. And actually, we stopped using it because it was just the same people were using it all the time. And I was like, come here.
Sorry about that.
If I had to see your face in here one more time, eating for fucking nothing, I don't leave it a tip. Yeah. Jesus. So we just... And actually, it was also hard work. It was done manually.
Yeah.
It was someone with a diary and a piece of paper. It was hours and hours. It was so stressful. So that's why we stopped doing it.
And then people didn't understand the concept of it and be like, hiya, I'd just like a table for four with tweet seats, please. Yeah. It's like, this isn't like open table or anything.
Yeah, so I'd love to do something again, but unfortunately, Instagram won't allow you to do that.
No.
It doesn't work in the same manner.
Yeah.
And I have Twitter on my phone, but I never fucking look at it. No. I'd actually love to get rid of social media. I hate social media.
Really?
Like, I love Instagram, but I fall into, you fall into the pool of hours and hours and hours, and then if you find something, you're like
yeah,
and I fantasize, there's a couple of chefs now around the world that you're just like, oh my God, and literally everything they're into, and you're just like, I just need to go and hang out with this person and talk to them. There's a lot of that, but I do love it, but I'd love to get away from it. It's too time consuming, it does suck out a bit of people's lives. But
it's weird to hear that because it's again, it's such a poster for your restaurants.
I know.
Yeah, but
I'd love to get some sort of phone in thing. Do you know,
talk to Joe. Yeah.
I would actually do that. So yeah, I was going to want to do a radio program ages ago. I'd love to do something on a Saturday morning that we played directly into all the restaurants.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Not the talk show, but some sort of a music thing. But it was just
why don't you?
I'd love. I would absolutely love that.
Yeah. I think we sort of gas because there is. It's sort of like a podcast, for want of another word, a podcast.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for years. It's like, I wonder could we do this and then just have our own music in the restaurants and just play it as a channel.
Yeah, well, you do have a fantastic voice. I'm sure a lot of people, I think, did you say, you said you wanted to be a newsreader?
I did years ago when I was a kid. I wanted to be a newsreader. I don't know why.
You just wanted to be Anne Doyle, didn't you?
Everyone.
The dirty high heels. That's what I was into. High leather heels.
I think that's a good idea.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm a radio freak, so I would say that.
We were trying to think. Like, there must be some other way because, social media, it's just becoming boring, totally boring to me.
Yeah.
I'd like to find something else. We actually talked. A friend of mine is he's the social media content editor for a really well-known magazine. He's like, I fucking hate social media. and we were talking about, I'd love to just go back to like a notice board. Do you remember when you used to go to like Quinsworth years ago? It's like, dog found, need lawn mowed. Do you know what I mean? Mary, where are you? Or some shit, whatever. But I just thought, like, if we got back to some sort of much more connected use of our lives.
If only. Simpler times.
Like a market.
Yes.
Like a market.
Which, you know, it's full circle for what you do here.
Why don't we have more markets? And like, it's just bananas.
But we should hopefully get some in Dublin, but it's red tape.
Well, we've got the market opening up down in the corner.
Yeah, are you involved?
And I said hello. I don't know. Actually, I've been to town in Lisbon. I really didn't like it.
Really?
Did you like it? What was it, the stags or the hens? That would be
attractive. Oh, love a hen.
I thought for the quality of the food in the stalls, yes, it's absolutely thronged, but it's kind of a curation of the chefs and the restaurants of the city, and that element I like.
Mm. Great for a fast trip to the city, and if you have fussy eaters, that you have the choices.
I thought they were making stuff to sell at the right price point, and it was like literally... Well, you're a 15-euro head, and that was it. They weren't necessarily trying to cater. Didn't you think? I wasn't mad about it. So but I'm not saying I'm not mad about this one here. Yeah. I'd love to. I'm definitely not poo-pooing it anyway. And it's a beautiful old building. I think I'll put any permission.
Bring back your sandwich place.
Bring back. Yeah, like we need sandwich bars in Dublin. Where do you go for a sandwich?
Like, Crane Lane. I hope in future now.
But where do you go for a sandwich in Dublin? Where do you go get a sandwich?
Well, we...
Dunn's literally have taken over the market for sandwiches. True. I know that, but they have...
If it's a bacon one, pepper pot, because we just love the bacon and pear and...
They don't open until 10 o'clock in the morning, them lazy bitches.
I know.
Those girls need to start at 8 o'clock.
What time do you open at? Midday?
I mean, work from 7. Yeah. Well, because breakfast is hard to crack in Dublin.
It's because I suppose what do people want at breakfast? Right. Yeah. A good fry. There's your next place. See, this is the most productive business meeting we've ever had. I've just come up with so many business ideas. Oh, wait, yes. I forgot to tell you this. No, we find breakfast is a tough one. Like, it's either hotel breakfast that are a little bit questionable, and then, or it's...
A meal is 13 euro.
Yes.
Yeah. I think breakfast is really hard. We haven't cracked it. I'm going to try and figure it out. Here, but I think it's just going to be something simple. Like, you just do one thing. Like, we just do a bacon sandwich or a vegetarian equivalent.
Bacon.
Or, like, a black pudding or a white pudding sandwich. I love that mushy, the other really mushy Dublin white pudding that's full of white pepper.
Yes.
That spread like pate on toast is like crack cocaine to me.
I used to be so bad at doing that.
Them in sandwiches. Yeah.
Do you remember I used to be buying like, you know, lovely like Inch House or something like that as black pudding? Yeah. And then the cheapest possible white pudding because I just love it.
I love it.
In the chocolate.
No, but there's really nice ones in Dublin. Yeah, you know, if you go up to the, like, I go up to the butchers in Meads. Sorry, normally get up early on a Saturday morning and creep out of the house because Anthony's like, if you make a fucking noise, I'm going to kill you. Because we work late. So I get up early on a Saturday morning because I don't tend not to sleep too much. And I just wander around. So I hit our central kitchen. We have a central production unit, a central kitchen. I just go in, have a little route around and see what the Hungarian lads, what meat products they've made themselves for their own breakfast. And just check in and wander around. I always seem to end up in Mead Street, but the butcher, one of the lads up there, and their pudding is so good. It's so delicious. And they also have brawn.
Do the
pink stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I love that.
So is that the next trend? Brawn
shops.
Brawn burger.
Oh, I definitely do think, like, head cheese and stuff like that will. But it's only select select group of people that are going to eat it. Mm. Like, I love anything awfully. Mm. Like, we were just saying, for the Emerald Dairy, we were saying, and all of us when we were talking with, in a group about the meeting, like, my team. So it's Anthony, my dad, Kevin, and Colm, who's the manager there. We were talking about, and like we all said, like liver and mash. Liver, mash and bacon must be on the menu. Like it's an absolute like de rigueur thing that we have to have. I love it. I don't understand why people don't eat liver every day of the week, but we can't sell it.
No,
it's a really hard sell.
Like, we had deep fried livers up in Crackbird. Did they sell? Did they fake?
No.
I don't even think we got them.
They're delicious.
They sound good. I love liver.
I love fried liver.
Hey Donna, as you mentioned earlier on, is now on Dame Street.
Yeah.
I love the name, firstly.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Donna?
Donna was a joke, so... I knew what we wanted to do in our minds. It was the first time I'd ever come up with a restaurant that I didn't have the name first. Normally, we asked me earlier, how do we start? And normally, it's like name, logo, and everything stems from that.
Gastro gaze, yeah.
Is that how it started?
Literally, it's exactly how it started.
I thought it might have been a slur or something.
Oi, gastro gaze.
Me?
At the start, it probably was.
There's that fucking gastro gaze. Hey Donna came really, really late, and I was looking for something. So actually the line, I don't know if you've seen there's a repetitive logo, it's like a shape, a print, and we call it a flavour line, and that was sort of where the restaurant came up from. So it's if you imagine that line superimposed onto a map, actually there's a map here in the room, you can sort of see it. It's Dublin, Beirut, Siem Reap, Seoul, Sydney.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And that's the sort of flavour vibe that Haydon is. I know it's very Middle Eastern, but there is other ideas, like, you know, taking the really bright, fresh items, like using lovely herbs and things like that you get in Siem Reap. The food itself can be quite tonally low, and then really bright, hot, sharp flavours on top. Then the grills idea, the clabby style grill from Korea, and then just like the fucking swaggery shit from Sydney. Do you know what I mean? It's just like that everything's easy, breezy, fresh, quality. And that's the whole thing. And then Dublin, just because we're here.
Simple.
And that's and then so hey Donna, sort of that's it came from that, and then just couldn't get this name. And then we were just shooting the shit one day, and it just came up. It is a joke of like hey Donna kebab. That's what it is. It's hey Donna kebab, and this and it was because it was Lebanese, and yeah, that's the joke.
Perfect.
And you have kebabs now.
Oh my god, we have unbelievable kebabs.
We nearly collapsed when you told us about them today, yeah, so explain them.
I've got a really nice guy called Peter Barry is our chef down there, and he was the chef in Skinflint. And Peter's quite the perfectionist. He was actually an economist. He studied economist, and then when he moved to Ireland, he became a chef. And he's a really conscientious guy, but he's quite a good baker, and he cracks off to do like, he was off for a few weeks, after we had a fire in the restaurant, he built a smoker in his back garden. And now arrives in with all these smoked meat products that are off the charts. He's not certified to anything, so we can't sell them in restaurants. But he, we were just talking, I was like, do you reckon we could just start making these flatbreads, a yogurt, a fermented flatbread? And he's like, yeah, maybe we could. And then, so we sticked around with it, and I was like, the more we kept coming back, and then he's like, no, actually, Joe, those breads actually are really, really good. So that's where it started off, the kebab thing. And then I was like, well, he doesn't want an elephant leg or anything like that in it. So we're just, so there's more things like we use lovely smoked sirloin of beef, duck bacon, there's venison, like when we do a really lovely venison with pork fat and caul, and it's wrapped up and grilled. And there's lovely pumpkins at the moment, just things like that. And just using our own, like the mushrooms, the marinated mushrooms.
Yeah.
So they're just really, really simple, dressed up, you know, like date and onion purees and things like that. On them, so they're not like kebabs. They're our version of a kebab.
Yeah,
it's probably even cheeky calling them kebabs, but they are.
The kebab police will be after you in no time. Don't worry.
So that's really I'm sure there is a kebab guy. I've seen him on Instagram, an Irish kebab guy.
What?
Yeah, he spends a lot of time in Tala by the looks of things. Garlic sauce, one. It's like, but they all buy the garlic sauce in the same place. I don't know what you're talking about. It comes in a bag. That's the kebabs. But there's loads of other stuff down there.
Yeah.
It's like, it's still got the hate on a menu. It's different. It's meant to be more about groups and fast casual, and it's meant to be easier. And then Rat Minds is going to get some extra zhuzhing now. So the menu up there is going to be changing over there. We're going to do more large format stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd ring ahead, and you know, we could do like shoulders of venison, legs of lamb, whole baked fish. as a full package, so it's a per person deal.
Yeah.
Well, not deal is the wrong word, but it's just charged per person. So you just come and you gorge and all the little mezze type sort of stuff at the start, and then have all, like, get your selection of vegetables, and then your one piece of meat. Or, and same, we're going to do it with vegetables. Mm. I love those. You know those big saucer style cabbages? They're like they're sort of like Eastern European cabbages. They're really flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're big disky ones.
Yes.
If you put them into your Dutch oven and bake them on a low heat for hours and flip them out, you can slice them like cake.
Oh,
and eat them with tomato sauce. They are unbelievable. So that sort of stuff. And I know it's to try and make that work within our flavour profile.
So to everyone who's drooling at the minute after everything you just said, have you ever had any plans to take this outside of the M50?
I was going to move to London. With Crackbird, yeah, with wow. Crackbird and Joe Burger, I was going to move them to London. I was actually just, and then when I had Crackbird and Skinflint and Joe Burger, I was going to say, well, it'd be easy, I'd move all three of them.
Yeah.
And I'd move all three of them in. So we're sitting beside the toilets in one of the restaurants on a seat.
This is what we call atmosphere. People on Radio 4 go around tapping walls to make it sound like footprints.
Yeah.
Someone's at the door. No, we don't do that.
We're just literally sitting beside the toilet. I had expectations, and I do think we will, for myself and Anthony, we will look for something outside. Like, I'd love to maybe find a hotel or something down the country, or something small space. I'd love to move to Clarehead. Like, but there's not enough people in Clarehead, you know.
We're nearby.
I know. Do you go to the Little Strand? The best seafood. Oh, my God. Or scampi. But you need to ring ahead to book it because they haven't peeled it all. But, yeah, I think we'll look for something, but it'll be something off-kilter. I would possibly like to have something in another country, like Sri Lanka. Something like that, where it's warm.
Not raining.
And not rain. Oh, no, they do rain there, but it's delicious rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not rain. Yeah, no, I think I'd like to find something, but it'd be more for work-life balance than for economics. Mm. Or Amsterdam. I love Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It's so laid back. I love the whole live and let live attitude that they have.
Yeah.
It's just, you feel like, you know, you're responsible for yourself and don't fuck up with other people's shit. And I just love the way they're really direct.
So, 12 years in, what's the next 12 or 20 years looking like? Is there a plan, or are you just winging it?
Winging it. At the moment, winging it. We'll get to a plan situation, but now it's more regroup and change. Like, I think, you know, there is definitely a distorting company in the food market in Dublin. We have got one business that is distorting everyone else's business. You know, they've got over 60 units. They're opening up beside other people. They're changing things. They're changing the market. And it's constant. And we're having to evolve to change our product to keep know that we're right. But yeah, so for the moment, it's just like change. And then I'd say next year, sit down and make a plan. I have to start thinking about retirement soon. Like, I turned 40 this year.
it's a bit away still. You're fine.
No, but like
a year or two.
Yeah. You want an early retirement?
No, I don't. I would really like an early retirement.
At 41.
No, not at 41. No. I'd like to find a way where I'm doing other things. Mm. So we're looking at, I was moving into the events space, and then also that I could actually just farm out my own, like doing consultancy. Mm. Because I actually, if you are creative and you're creating a business that needs stability, you're not the most helpful person, because change isn't always good. And I like change. Like, lots of change. I can come in and anyway, so the guys are like, walk off, Joe. No, get out. They're like, did I see you changing menus in the middle of the night? And they're like, no. And so we share everything. We use Google. I literally love Google products. I think they're good. Now, there's some sort of weird Nazism in it, because it listens to you 24 hours a day, and eventually we will get fucked by it. But in the meantime, I love it, that you can do the sharing docs and all that sort of stuff. But it's in a business where you've got 100 people, and to input, it's just so handy. So we do menus. All our menus are done by that. Right. So I'm editing them. They're just got viewing rights.
And importantly, printer rights. Yeah, printer
rights. They comment rights, so they comment on them. But it's they're like, oh, did I see you change something? Like, no, I wasn't. And they were like, Joe, I got up the morning, I got a notification that you were fiddling around with that. Is there a new menu coming? You're like, no. And then you're like, ta-da, new menu. Yeah.
No surprises.
You love a surprise, a good surprise.
What is Irish food in the modern day?
Oh, do you know who I think really defines good Irish food? Actually, I didn't mention these people earlier. John and Sandy Wire. That, to me, like Forest Avenue is like modern Irish food. I love it. I love the idea that the respectfulness of the product. Muse in Baltimore. Oh my God, I was there during the summer and literally had a life-altering experience. I think I'd cried when they did. Oh, I had a langoustine crumpet that I still dream about. Like Pilgrims in Cork. But there's loads of people doing really, really cool, really, really good food out there. And they're just mentioning a few people. Like, I know this. But for me, it's about using what we have and trying to use local stuff. Ours in the we're a group restaurant. It is different because the way we work, but not everything we can't be buying, like to get to also the price points, we can't actually make it that things like all organic and all this sort of stuff. But we do always try to buy from small producers. You know, at the moment we're buying Sophie Van Dyke's dollop ghee. Have you had that stuff?
Oh, that stuff.
That shit's crack.
So I'm going to throw it all into the bath and just bathe it. Yeah, it's delicious. So good. God, yes. So creamy.
Fried eggs.
Yes.
Which scale bakery bread?
Roasties. Oh my God, the roasties are so good with it.
Really?
Yeah.
And like, we thought similar until we tasted them and we were like, yeah. I prefer this to dripping, to duck, to goose, all of the fats. Mm.
I just have one of those jars in my fridge. Like, you know, I'm like my mom.
Please don't tell me you eat from the jar.
No, no, I have one of those aluminium cups that I just pour all the fat into.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's everything though. And everything's, and I just use it for everything.
Every fridge has to have that.
Yeah.
Every
I love fridge. It.
Yeah.
That's when I do a salt thing. I make it so in like September, October, when you crop it and everything down in the herb garden, cut it all, chop it up real small and mix it with loads and loads of salt. And it turns it, the liquid comes out of it, you leave it in the fridge for about a week and then you strain it out and dry it and use that as your seasoning for everything the whole way through the winter. But you can put your carrot scrapings, everything, so you keep everything for a week, celeriac rinds, your celery, all that sort of yak, all the tops of all the stuff in the veg, you know, the vegetable garden is unusable, well not unusable, but it's just like, well, what do I do with that, make it into this paste. That and bit of fat are like the best things for your house for the winter, and then you don't need stock cubes.
Martha Stewart, thank you.
It's that's a great amazing thing. And I know they do, like, I've, so it's really big in Canada, you can buy it commercially, and it's good on chips.
Sold.
There you go.
Right. Top tip. Sold.
Thank what you. Was the question though? I can't remember.
Something about Irish food.
Irish food.
Oh, Irish food.
But the best Irish food is in your fridge, but it sounds
amazing. Really? No, I do think, you know, Irish food is about produce. You know, we have an unbelievably green little green island, and that we can knock stuff out. And there's people doing great stuff, like Bally Mechanic potatoes. Her pink for apple potatoes are back in season. I cannot wait. She messaged me during the week. I'm like, I'm making a fondue here especially for it. We're going to fondues here in Bar Giuseppe, Mondays and Tuesday fondue. We're having those pink for apple potatoes, but. Yeah, I think it's producers, small producers making delicious things. Drummond House garlic, Dunaney spelt.
Awfully
loud centric. I'm loving it.
Well, I'm from Slane.
Mm-hmm.
So Mapperth Farms, Michael in blue, who makes blue cheese and white cheese and goat cheese. I fucking love that stuff. Yeah. Newgrange olive oil. Like we do try to buy at home a cocky cider.
Yeah.
So delicious. Mm. So there's loads of people, and I love, so that's for me, is finding and supporting those people, and putting their stuff on our menus everywhere.